not in Revelation, and not for you today. If you were to drive from the seminary to the Church of the Resurrection in Sappington, and you were to come home from the resurrection, you'd come to the intersection of Lindbergh and Sappington Road. And as you're looking across four lanes of traffic, you would see this gateway house of prayer, and you'd see a professional mortgage company, and then out of the corner of your eye, out of the passenger side window, you'd get a very brief glimpse of a small roadside shrine. Faded flowers, purple irises, a pink rose duct taped to a piece of metal. One brief vision of violence. Something violent has happened. And that brief glimpse of violence changes the way you journey in the world. I think that this text is kind of like that roadside shrine. It's a brief vision of heavenly violence that changes the way we live in this world. When you read the text in its context, you'll recognize that it is very brief and it is firmly anchored in this world. John has been receiving a vision of this world. He has seen Israel, Israel on earth who has received her Messiah. And before all nations believe, this Messiah is taken up into heaven and that the church is wandering in the wilderness on earth. And then you have this brief vision of this fighting in heaven, and then the dragon comes back down to earth and the church is being persecuted because he knows his time is short and he's struggling and the church is struggling and she's crying out, awaiting for her Lord to come. You see, this vision of violence isn't asking you to open up the heavens, it's opening up the earth so that you know what's going on here. And you know two things. You know that there is a war against God's people. And you know that God enables his creatures to participate in the victory of Christ. You participate in the victory of Christ. I'd like you to think for a moment about how really strange this story is. We see a war in heaven, and Michael is fighting, and the devil is cast out of heaven. Now, I can assure you that if a Lutheran today were writing this story, it wouldn't be Michael. Right? It'd be Jesus, right? That would fit better with the biblical witness. It is Christ who has risen from the dead, Christ who has defeated sin, Christ who has defeated Satan, Christ who cast Satan out of heaven. But the text tells us that it is Michael, because Michael participates in the victory of Christ. Michael participates in the victory of Christ. When Michael casts Satan out of heaven, the heavens break forth in song. And what do they sing? They don't sing about Michael. They sing about Christ, his rule, his authority, his power, the blood of Christ that conquers Satan. That's what they sing, because Christ in his resurrection has defeated the power of death. He has power over death, power over sin, power over Satan, and power over all creation. And he enables his creatures to participate in his victory over Satan. That's an encouraging word. It's encouraging to John. Exiled on the island of Patmos, watching as the church is torn apart. What does he have? He doesn't have fame or fortune that people should care about him. He doesn't have household or home that people should care for him. All he has is his testimony. His aging, frail voice. And yet Christ enables him to participate in the victory over Satan so that even today, we listen to his voice. It's encouraging for John, and it's encouraging for you. I don't need to tell you that there is a war going on, a war against Christians. And I'm not just talking about a culture war. I'm talking about physical violence. You've seen the images. Churches being bombed in Cairo, desecrated northeast of Damascus. On Mount Sinai, they are torturing Christians. Mount Sinai, where God appeared in thunder and lightning, you touch the mountain, you shall die. On Mount Sinai, Christians are being tortured. And when you see that war out there in the world and you look at your life in here, some days you wonder if you have the strength to fight in that battle. You come to seminary to learn about God, right? And what often happens is you end up learning about yourself and how pitiful our interest can be. We get all offended when somebody disrespects us. And people are being tortured on Mount Sinai, and you're worried about gossip? And we see our pettiness, and we see our powerlessness. As there are sins that keep surfacing in your life, and you thought when you went to the seminary they'd be gone. You come here with these visions of the sky of the kingdom, and one day you wake up and you're face down in the dirt of your sin. And you wonder if you are lost. Well, hear this. Christ knows where you are. And today, he gives you a small roadside shrine so that you know what is happening. Satan is doing what Satan does, attacking God's people, deceiving his people on earth, deceiving you into thinking that you're going to fight this war on your own strength. And when you hear his accusations, know this, Christ has conquered him. And those accusations do not sound in heaven, for there the blood of Christ intercedes for you. Christ has power over Satan, power over death, power over sin, and power over creation. You're not some random act of violence. You're not some collateral damage in some much greater war. No, no, you are not forgotten. He has chosen you to participate in his victory over Satan. And in your weakness, there is his strength. You know, as I was preparing the sermon, I was looking at all of these images of St. Michael and fighting the dragon. I was looking at, you know, sculptures and paintings, and the more I looked, the more frustrated I became because I felt like the artists were misleading me. I mean, every time you see these images, Michael is this imposing angel, and he's dressed in this military garb. He's holding a shield in one hand and a sword or a spear in the other. Sometimes he's jamming that spear in the mouth of Satan, and those images make you think that Michael's doing it by his own strength. You know what we need? Dr. Burrison, you know what we need? I think we need to commission a Precious Moments Michael. You know Precious Moments, those little kids with those big heads and those big eyes, you know? I don't think you usually see them dressed in armor. No, they're usually in something like a flimsy bedsheet, right? I don't usually see them holding swords and holding shields. They're holding a candle or some flowers, right? You give me a Precious Moments, Michael. I look at that, I'll say, there is no way. There is no way. No way he fought Satan. I mean, maybe he could try with a headbutt, right? There's no way he could conquer Satan. And that's the point. He fights by someone else's strength. And so do you. So do you. I don't know what you're fighting, and I don't know how long you've been struggling, but I do know this. You and I, we're on our way home. Home from the resurrection. And today Jesus gives us a small roadside shrine to teach us of his victory, that we might live in hope in him. Amen.